Welcome back, guys. Going into the third hour here. Adam, what's up?
Well, you are all on Majeed currently. The scum and villainy center of the sector. Everybody seems to have kind of like their own thing that they need to do. The spaceport that you're in is like several tiered levels. Like a lot of the stuff on Majeed is built into the ground. So a lot of gangplanks and stuff. And in here, there's graffiti all over the walls. Mostly it's in Chinese. And I need Mr. Sakarian, can you make an intelligence check for me?
Yes. Seven.
Okay. All right. So there's a stencil, the same graffiti spray painted everywhere. You've seen it before. It was on that like gutter, space port that you were in. And it's the big like kanji, the Japanese character for purity. And it's been spray painted in a bunch of different places. Otherwise the graffiti is all kind of like mixed and matched. You catch a lot of reference to like blue fever too. Like a lot of people, there's like spray paint. It's like, I got a fever, and it's in like giant blue letters and like.
So it's of that vibe though, of like there is blue fever here as opposed to purity out with blue fever type of thing.
Like literally, as soon as you get out into the street, imagine it like kind of Blade Runner-y, and that like everything is in all the like neon signs in Chinese and lots of like. Crowded, cramped streets, multi-layer, kind of like lots of precipitation, immediately as soon as you come out, there's like two people like crouched under an awning of like an abandoned like a newspaper stand or something, and one of them is passed out, just like lying in the street, and then the other is like rocking back and forth. And like his whole like mouth area is like, he looks like the fucking Joker. His whole mouth area is just like blue. And he like looks up when you come out, and he like puts his hands out, and he's like, credits, and like his teeth, he's missing most of his teeth, and the ones he does have are like transparent blue. They're like little see-through like Lego pieces sticking out of his gums.
So Sakarian's business on the planet is purely just killing time, waiting for the ship to repair and stuff like that. Like, he did the research for, you know, he can't look into the thing doing with his what he might do anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like bombing around, like seeing old contacts and researching and stuff like that. But when he sees this kind of shit, the good mood of Sakarian from earlier just kind of evaporates, and he kind of looks at the guy, and as the guy's like begging for him, he just kind of, his upper lip like curls a little bit, and he just keeps on walking. But he's in his assault armor. He doesn't have the thunder gun on him, because that would be incredibly out of place walking around in Majeed. But yeah, he does have his chain sword.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. I think that, so at that point, you guys all kind of like go your own way. Let's go, Higgs. Let's go see your meeting. So, Vincent Pollard asked you to meet him at the Ratterman Group office, and then you're gonna like take a cab for your like night out.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe you take like a rickshaw or something there, and you get out. And the Ratterman Group like does have a big shiny glass building. It's got the big RG at the top, and someone is taking down, like when you walk up, someone is like scraping a window poster off, and you can just see the end of the word like Starlight as he's like scraping it down, like a guy in a coverall. And yeah, there's a big lobby. With a big like jade statue in it, and it's like one of those buildings that like from the outside and the inside, all of it is like designed to seem really super impressive and expensive. So they're very showy.
Okay. If possible, I went and got a better suit for this meeting.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. How much better? Just decide a number of credits to spend, and that's how impressive your suit is.
All of them.
Yeah.
The guy in the 6,000 credit suit.
What is he going to pick up this box? Who's the guy in the $6,000 going to pick up this
box? Let's do,
Come on.
Let's do $15,000.
Jesus. What?
That is an incredibly awesome suit.
You're actually that's wearing like a fucking a living
diamond means. Crusted.
Yeah, so is it in like Majidi like style, or do you get like a traditional like Aeson like expensive suit?
Traditional Aeson.
Nice. Suit. Cool. So $15,000 worth of the highest low class fashion. Cool. So you know you look awesome. Everyone else looks at you and they see super expensive Aeson noble. What does your new suit look like?
It's basically pure denim.
Yeah.
The entire beautiful. I basically look like awesome. Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears from the 2004 quintessential MTV Movie Awards. Nice. And I don't know how I just pulled that, but that's the memory. That's the
nice.
That, no, that's that cost. It probably is literally that suit.
It might even be that suit.
Yeah, literally from that era. It's a 1,000-year-old suit. Awesome. Yeah, so you have like, you know, 1,000 thread count denim, and you're wearing a denim shirt and a denim tie with a denim jacket over it. Beautiful. Do you have a hat? Do you have any accessories?
Yes, I've got a denim hat, and I have a single monocle.
He's also
I don't really know
dude.
What to do with it. I kind of like put in my eye. I'm just like, what the fuck? I like look at the guy that gives it, that sells it to me. I'm like, what is this? What is this supposed to, is this just a he one eye glass? What is
yeah,
this?
Yeah, your tailor, skilled though he is, doesn't speak English. And so just like a gesture, it's like, I.
Okay. I kind of like just put it over an eye and eventually I just get tired of it. So I put
yeah,
it
he gives you like a pocket. Thumbs up. Cool. All right. So you show up looking like fantastic. And at the desk, so you walk in, and at the front desk, there's this, like, black kind of, like, obelisk of stone with three computer terminals. And sitting at each terminal is, like, an android, basically. They're white plastic, shaped vaguely like human, like, women. They're just, like, typing away and, like, answering phones when you walk up. And one of them turns, like, she turns her head to you. And kind of like looks you up and down and says, Mr. Higgins.
Mr. Higgins, that's me.
Here to see Vincent Pollard.
That's the one.
One moment, please, sir.
Fantastic.
He presses the button. And after a few seconds, she says, Mr. Pollard is in his office. Follow the lights, please. And you can see on the floor there's like a little red like running light that lights up and leads you to the elevator.
All right. Thank you very much. And I look around for a name tag or a nameplate or something like that. And if I find it, I'll say her name. But if I don't, thank you very much, ma'am.
All right.
Follow the lights.
Okay. So you follow the lights and you get into the elevator and it heads up. And it's like one of those like glass elevators. So you can see the inside of the building is all fancy. And it takes you up to one of the higher level floors. And I think that there's a news report playing in the elevator, and there's a screen, and it shows it's all in Mandarin, so you don't understand it, but it shows a kind of older, like a white dude, and he's like shouting into a microphone and like shaking his fist, and then you see Nika Starlight being like put into like a police vehicle. And the voiceover, like, is speaking in Mandarin, but occasionally you hear the words, like, Nika Starlight. And then it switches to some kind of, like, protest on Majid. Like, you see all these, like, kids dressed like Wu was dressed before the concert. And they're all holding signs and, like, shouting. And then you see the words underneath, like, Strophios Embassy, and it's, like, on fire. And they're, like, looting it, and, like, there's cars upside down.
That's just where we were, right?
Yeah, Strophios is the planet you were on before.
We got kicked out of there, right?
Well, that's the one where the fight happened between me and Fang.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you weren't there for that fight. You were getting drunk on the ship, but yes.
Hey, we had a fight, me and Fang. He might have not been directly involved in it, but
not
we fought.
Not to steal the thunder, but some of us were in the way of a gun that opens a portal inside of your body. Yeah. The other guy was there.
And some of us were in the way of sand throwers. It just didn't happen to be me. But yeah, I remember.
Awesome. So, so you get up to the office. It's the, like, PR floor, and it opens, and there's like, a nice little waiting room and some ferns, and another one of those white plastic android ladies. And when you walk in, she looks at you and says, like, even just as you're walking out, just says, like, "Mr. Pollard is waiting for you. Office 106, please." And gestures down a hall.
Yeah, I kind of, well, thank you, ma'am. And then I keep walking down.
So the hallway leading up to Pollard's office is just lined with, like, gold and platinum records, like, all the way along. And, like, pictures of him with, like, various famous people. And there's one where it's, like, him and, it's like him and there's a man, like a Chinese man, and they're shaking hands, and the Chinese man looks like a little flustered, and there's a little kid, and you recognize the kid right away, like it's Nika, and the little panel underneath says, like, Vince Pollard signs Nika Starlight, and they're like, there's a date, from a few years ago, and then there's a big door at the end, and the nameplate on the door just says Vince P.
Okay, has a normal handle and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Higgs, I guess I like kind of... Higgs pauses in front of the door and takes like a big deep breath. She's like, "All right, here we go." And opens the door and walks in.
Okay. So his office is on the corner of the building. So when you walk in, it's just like glass walls. And you can see out into Majid, like into the city. And there's just like all of these... Like if it wasn't... If the building wasn't in the middle of, like, an industrial waste, like this whole planet is, it might be a nice view, but you can just see these, like, towers spouting fire into the sky and, like, mining equipment and off into the distance. There's a certain sort of, like, industrial beauty to it. But inside the office, this is, like, a shrine to this guy's, like, achievements. There's just, like, wall-to-wall, like, pictures of him with famous people. The middle of the room is taken up like by a huge desk with two really expensive-looking chairs in front of it. And standing by the window on the other side of the desk with his back to you is who you can only assume is Vincent Pollard. He's, like, in his 50s, white. He's got gray hair. Imagine a British Roger Sterling. He's got his, like, jacket off, and it's sitting on the back of his chair. He's just wearing his white shirt with his sleeves rolled up and just, like, pinstripe pants. And when he hears you come in, he turns around, and he, like, puts his hand up, like 1 second. And he finishes having his conversation in Mandarin and then hangs up. He presses his little earpiece, and he's like, looks you up and down. "Wilbur fucking Higgins." And he, like, walks over and, like, gives you that, like, grabs your hand.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Yes, it's me. I'm Wilbur. Hello.
Wilbur! He, like, looks you up and down. "You're looking great. Looking fabulous. Brilliant. Love the suit. Ace and chic. Very in right now. Have a seat. You want a drink?"
Yes, please. Immediately. Right now. Let's have two, actually.
All right, so you sit down, and he takes out a bottle. Actually, not a bottle. It's like a decanter, and he, like, pours you a glass of something brown. He drinks it quickly and puts the glass down. What do you do? Are you going to sip it, or are you just like...
No, I drink. I keep the pace.
Okay. So you take it, and he's like, "God, you have no idea how long I've been waiting for you to walk into my office. I swear to God, this is the beginning of a new fucking era, Higgs. You and me, we're going to make billions." And he, like, looks out the window, and he's like, do you do the fever, Higgs? You want a little of this?"
I would if one of my compatriots would literally kill me. In fact, you've seen Mr. S would literally kill both of us if he knew you just asked me that. So please keep Mr. that S, shit the fuck Mr., away
Mr.,
from me.
Mr. S, is he that French fucker? Is that
nope. Mr. S? Now that is Prosper, and let me tell you,
right,
that guy
right,
can...
Yes, I'm sorry.
We can actually go shoot him right now if he'll just sign a check. I'll do it.
Hey, Higgs, man, the knife is young. Nobody's getting shot yet. We have so much more to talk about before we get to that point. I've had a very long day. I'm just going to need a little bit to get me going. You don't mind, do you?
Just keep it to yourself, and if Mr. S ever walks around, keep it to yourself.
Okay. All right, so yeah, he takes, like, out of his, like, pants pocket or out of his desk or something, like, a little, like, vial. And I guess, have we seen anybody do blue fever before? I guess there's probably a bunch of different ways for him to...
I don't think we've seen it, no.
Yeah, okay. So maybe it's in, like, a little aerosol thing, like a little inhaler. So he, like, takes it out and he shakes it. And he's like, "You understand, long day, busy work. I'm a very busy man. You're a busy man, too." And he, like, holds his breath. He's like, "This makes it better. Really popular on this planet."
Yeah, I've, and he, like, I've heard like you a, gotta be, you got, okay, all right. A
faint blue, like, cloud. He's like, huh, there we go. Right, so you're here about a show, right? You sent me the footage?
Yeah, okay. What?
Pitch,
how much have you...
Pitch me, Higgs. And he, like, sits down and he, like, puts his feet up on his desk. He's like, go, go, 30 seconds, tell me what you got.
Okay, here's the show. Imagine black screen, you see the twinkling of the... hold... I got, okay, you see the twinkling of the stars, right? And then all of a sudden, you see a fade, some things fade, and it goes swish. And it says, the crew of the SS Swan Song. And then it shows me sitting there at the front, and I'm standing looking outside the universe. And then we got Mr. S, and he's maybe in a hallway shooting some guns or something. I don't know. We'll do something fancy with him. Prosper, we'll just do like a quick half-second pan, just real quick, you know, right... Right over him. Just make sure he's there in the intro. But and then we'll do like a long slow zoom in of one Miss Piani pick, and then maybe some quick snapshots of some extraterrestrial life. We got Howard the octopus. We had him for a little while. We've got we'll do something. We'll put a robot in there. Maybe just put Pi, like a little name card on there. We got some stories with him, and then. It, then at the end it says these are the stories and life of the SS Swan Song, and then it signs off and it goes to the show. And I'm just kind of like breathing deeply and take like a long shot.
Yeah, so you take a like long breath, and he's just like staring at you, like sweat beating on his forehead, like just blank, like stare right into your eyes, and you can actually see his pupils like changing size while he's staring at you, and he's like, "You had me at swish, Higgs."
I got like, most people at swish.
He gets up and he looks around and he like looks, and you can see on his desk he's got a bunch of like photos of like him and various celebrities, and he looks at it and he's like, Higgins, and he fucking just knocks everything off his desk. He's like, I don't need any of this shite because you're gonna be my star, Higgs. Let's go get drunk. And he like walks over and like puts his arm around you, like picks you up out of the chair and like leads you to the door.
Yeah, I'm he's already sold me. He sold me as much as I sold him. Walking.
All right, cool. So let's cut to Piani, who like lives here or lived here and maybe knows her ways around. Where are you, Piani, when we find you, when we do the cut?
I'm going to this tech shop that I used to know. There's like a little tech mart.
Okay.
Like a lot of underground, both market and black market things can be found.
Oh, like a Akihabara style, like
totally. But I mean, like imagine the most rundown shithole version of it.
Right? Oh, totally. Yeah, dystopian drug riddled mining planet version. Right. Okay.
And I would say that, like, you know, Majid's like a dirty place, so I wear my normal outfit, but maybe I like wrap, you know, a little sort of face and turban scarf type thing just to avoid all the dirt getting in my mouth.
Okay. So you're like Princess Jasmine then. Nice.
Yeah, that's exactly,
how Wheat pictures it.
Uh-huh. The first thing about that? All right, so you're in this market, you're getting like jostled, and like people are, yeah, selling like, they're hawking computer parts and like access codes to computer servers. And you're like passing through this market area, and I think a kid comes up to you in the market, and he's like maybe like 5 at the oldest, really thin, and he comes over and like pulls at your clothes and is like in Mandarin, is like, ma'am, please. And when you look at him, his like whole, like his eyes are just like a dark blue, like the whole thing, and he just like puts his hands out and he's like, credits, please. Please.
Do I carry loose credits on me?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you could like you'd be able to do something like that. Yeah.
So I could flip him a credit.
Script. Yeah, totally.
5 credits.
Okay. He takes them and he like bows to you and he's like, thank you, and he says like, thank you, elder sister, and it's like in Mandarin, it's like a honorific, I guess.
Sure.
And you see him run back over to, there's like a kind of tough looking guy standing by a stall, and the kid runs over to him and gives the credits to this guy. The guy like pockets them and then like shoves the kid back out into the crowd.
Um, All right. I actually go over and have a word with this gentleman.
Okay. So he sees you coming, and he, like, kind of stands up and, like, you notice he's got a gun. Like, it's in a holster, and he, like, hitches it, and he kind of, like, watches you walk over. And he looks at you. He's like, fever? You want fever?
Don't want it. I know your type. I get it. You know, you peddle the kids on the street. You've got your drugs, whatever other wares you might be going. And actually, I ain't even mad, because I know you're going to feed that kid, and I know maybe his mom and dad will also get something. But I should kick your ass for exploiting these little kids the way you do. I'll make a deal, though. I need to find some parts. I'll look the other way. Just tell me where I can get these.
Nice. Okay, make a culture Majid roll.
Okay.
You can add your charisma.
Which is a fucking whopping zero. Woo. Okay. But I get a one in Majid automatically, or is it just a zero?
You have a zero automatically.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, so a zero is negative one, right? Or no, just zero.
No, just zero. Yeah.
Zero.
Nice. Okay. All right. So I think the fact that, like, he looks at you and he can see, like, you're from here, and he like, he's like, sorry. And he actually gives you the credits back. He's like, we don't hustle locals. And you're looking for parts.
I throw him back and just say, give him to the kid.
Okay. So he takes it and he puts it back in his pocket, and he's like, looking for computer parts, robot parts. Yeah, I know a place. And he gives you an address at, like, the far end of the market.
Okay. I'll go there. I just say thanks.
Okay. So you notice him, like, he watches you. And can you make an intelligence check for me?
I can.
Thanks.
Okay, just normal.
Ooh.
Okay. Cool. So you get to the shop that he pointed out. And on the outside, it's like the characters on the big neon sign outside say, like, most prosperous autonomous servant repair. And it has, like, one of those neon signs that goes back and forth between, like, two things. And it's like a guy with, like, a hammer and a big long, like, Confucius, like, mustache, like, hitting a robot on the head, and the robot is going, like, meh, and sparks are coming out of it. So you go in, and it's just, like, piles of junk. It's like a parts hoarder's place. It's, like, halfway between a junkyard and, like, you know, like, a nerd's apartment who can't throw away his, like, 12-year-old graphics card. There's just piles of equipment everywhere. And there's an old man at the back behind a desk with, like, a weird, like, headset on with a bunch of, like, ocular parts. And he's, like, got a screwdriver inside, like, a robotic hand. And he's, like, tightening and untightening stuff when you walk up.
So, like, kind of for the first time, and I guess during the time, like, Piani goes into her jacket and she pulls out, like, a piece of paper and she unfolds it. And it's just basically a super rough, because obviously Piani's not an artist, like a super rough design of what looks like a robot body. Yeah. And it's got, like, parts circled that, and I just basically tell him that this is what I'm building. And this is what I have.
Okay. So he looks at it and kind of, like, looks it up and down and says, built from scratch, this? Ambitious project.
Have a lot of time on my hands. A fucking spike drive's only a one. Fucking takes forever to get around. Half the time we're fucking lost.
He shakes his head. He's like, you need a new navigator.
I do disagree.
But he says, engineer Song, much too old for space travel, but if I were a younger man, I would go with you into space.
How about you just help me now?
Hey, he says, you have money?
I do.
He nods. Okay. I'll find these parts. You go. Come back tomorrow. We'll talk.
Okay. I like kind of, like, start to take two steps back, and then I turn around. I go, oh, yeah, I just pull out the eye and just say, "You ever seen anything like this before?"
So he kind of looks at it and gestures. He's like, "Old man, come closer. My eye's not so good."
Come closer.
Okay. He like
take
reaches
a
out.
Like more grip on the eye. You know.
Yeah, he reaches out for you to like give it to him. He's got long, long, bony fingers.
It's like a lot of hesitation before I finally just.
Okay.
Yeah.
Takes it.
Yeah.
Make a luck check for me.
Okay. Shit. 14. What do I just?
Just yeah. Roll D20. You need a 14 or better. Somebody in chat said you've wandered into Bon Bon's apartment.
Yes.
You got it. Okay.
Rocky.
So he looks at it for a second and he's like, good eye. Seen this before. Psytech needs MES to work. Replacement for you? You have both eyes.
Is that what it's for?
So it's works on psychic power.
So you're saying someone takes that thing and fucking puts it in their head?
Yes, yes. Human prosthesis. Sees things. He shrugs. I only do robots. He like throws it back to you.
I catch it and say, anyone on Majid deal in this sort of shit?
He nods. Yes. Academy. And when he says that, like, you know he means the Psychic Academy, which is the, like, Mandarinate-controlled, like, fascist psychic squad training place where you learned your psychic powers and then barely managed to get away, right?
Right, but, I mean, there's, like, this would not be a place I would be welcome to go back to.
I would avoid it if I...
Right, yeah, okay. But that doesn't mean I couldn't potentially search somewhere else for someone that could do that.
Yeah, I mean, on another planet, maybe, but here,
right.
High tech and stuff is very, very heavily controlled by the Academy.
Okay. All right, I'll go back to the ship then. Come back tomorrow.
Prosper, what are you doing on your first day in Majid?
So, like, Prosper doesn't really have anything specific that he wants to achieve on Majid, but he's definitely stressing a little bit about this email.
Yeah.
So, like, like, my culture of Cabral doesn't give me any other contacts that I could sort of flex in order to be like, hey, am I going to get arrested or am I going to be given a commendation?
So you want to send a message that, like, you want to try and feel out the, like, political situation there?
Yeah.
Yeah, make a culture of Cabral roll.
Okay.
Seven, eh? All right. I'm making out. The question here is, like, you might get some information, but you might also alert some enemies of yours in the Coverley's government, so.
Yeah.
The feelers are out there.
Yep. Like, I guess when Piani comes back, mm-hmm. like, I kind of approach her and I let her know that I'm nervous about this a little bit. Somehow, you know, I just say, Ms. Peak, I have a strange request for you again. I'm a little nervous about this email that I received. You know, the one you helped me with so kindly. You're from Majid, yes?
I am.
Is there anyone here that you know that might have contacts on Cabral, or do you know of anything, anyone we could speak to who... I don't know. Like, you can tell that I'm just, like, really, like...
What are you saying? Just spit it out already.
You know, I sort of sit down on the bed or whatever, and I sigh and I put my head in my hands. I say, Piani, the Order of the Annunciation, they are very diverse. Current philosophy is that... there is a party line that all of the agents of the Order are expected to follow, and Piani, in doing what I did for Pi, I broke that party line when we commented out that code. I'm not certain if this request for me to come home is something that is safe.
How could they know you did it?
My performance?
Is it...
From what I gather from L'Enfant, and in fact, you know, I sort of pause and I say, L'Enfant, if you're listening in, I invite you to listen, if it interests you.
I am always, interesting or otherwise.
I guess I sort of, like, I smile a little bit wryly at that, like, huh. Anyway, I continue, I just say, yes, well, it sounds like, from what I have understood from L'Enfant, that the code that we commented out may have been intended to give L'Enfant a direct link to La Fantôme. I was not able to decipher the code. I didn't know what it would do, and I didn't want to meddle in L'Enfant's programming. And I'm not certain if my order means to execute me or give me a commendation. So, if you know of anybody on Majid who has contacts with Cabral that we could leverage in order to get more information about my political situation on my home planet, I would be grateful.
Well, I suppose I can try. You really think they're gonna kill you?
It is not unheard of. I took a great personal risk doing what we did.
So what are you gonna do if they do say they want to kill you?
There's something I need to do there. But knowing that will affect how we approach the planet.
All right. Let me make a couple of comms. Let me see what I can do.
Thank you, Piani. I'll get I appreciate back to you. It. Yeah, you know, a nod. And that, I mean, that's about it. I'm sort of just sitting on my hands, feeling really nervous. And I'm also like, I'm still digging through my source books. Like, I didn't get any, like, officially sort of sanctioned copies of the code of, you know, the creed of the Order of Annunciation from Alana Durant, right? That's kind of what I was reaching out to.
Well, the thing about the government is that it was formed as part of, like, there's it's like the French Revolution, so there was, like, the people's uprising or whatever against the former aristocracy, and then there was this shadowy cabal underneath that doesn't keep, like, official documentation, so there's a lot of, like, when you were on Cabral, it was easy because you could just know kind of instinctively, like, who's the person in charge right now and how does power shift? But being so far away from your home, it's hard to tell who's in control now.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just, like, cross-referencing the multiple copies that I have and trying to figure out, like, where they're not matching up and where they are matching up and trying to see, like, what issues are being disagreed on, so that sort of stuff. That's about it.
Okay. So do you, Piani, do you want to make a culture Majid role for that?
Yeah.
Someone who can help Prosper?
I don't suppose that James might also be some sort of an avenue for that. But
yeah, you can certainly ask him, right? You don't have to roll. Like, you can just ask him when you go to meet him.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't I do that? Seems okay. Like I ask a lot of favors of him, but, you know.
Well, maybe it's time to turn it around.
Yeah.
So first, I want to know, so Sicarian, do you have anything what are you doing on the planet?